me a little bit about CLF Ventures and what it is that you're doing from a legal and a nanotechnology point of view.
Actually, we support the work of our legal colleagues because we're kind of a revenue stream for the organization. So we partner with organizations, both public and private, and we help them to become more sustainable in their operations. So we focus on new products and launching new endeavors and dealing with the environmental and also the broader societal and stakeholder components of that. And also we work with existing organizations that find themselves with complicated environmental issues. And so we help them navigate the difficult regulatory stakeholder. We do a lot of outreach, help organizations explain their position and work with the community to come up with solutions that are sustainable. So we get involved whenever there are change conditions. We help develop strategies for sustainable change.
With the emerging interest in nanotechnology, what would be the concerns from environmental risk?
All of the properties that make nanomaterials so exciting as new materials that's causing all this great investment and excitement about them are really novel properties. They behave differently than existing substances that we're used to working with. That's what raises the concern, is that if they behave differently from an engineering perspective, they also may behave differently from a biological and environmental perspective. So it raises some concerns that we need to address as these materials are being developed before they go widely out into the market.
How do you do that?
Well, I like to use an approach from the risk analysis community, which is a risk assessment framework. Governments increasingly now are using risk assessment to try to identify health risks, environmental risks. It takes two main components. It takes the potential hazard, which all materials, no matter whether they're natural or not, have some hazardous properties associated with them. But then it considers the potential for exposure. And so you can get a really good picture of the risk profile by doing a streamlined analysis. Part of the issue for nanomaterials is that the measurement methods are still under development, so we don't have good ways of really measuring the properties of nanomaterials from a health perspective or environmental perspective. So what I'm proposing to do is look across the product life cycle, consider how these products are used, developed, and disposed of, and the potential exposures to workers, to consumers, and to environmental receptors, to the broader environment, and use risk assessment in a streamlined screening type approach to figure out whether there are concerns without doing a really long, detailed study of them, but to inform us kind of early on about whether they look sustainable or not.
So in a sense, because we're at the beginning of this emerging field, you're taking more of a preemptive approach or a proactive approach as opposed to where we may have been in the past, finding out afterwards that there were concerns about different chemicals or products or whatever.
That's exactly right. I mean, we can look at things like bisphenol A that are popping up in the news where people are having to pull products and they're worried about things that they've been using for a long time. My goal is to try to build sustainability into these new products early on. And the exciting piece about nanotechnology is you can engineer out the properties that you don't want. So if we are looking for those properties now, we're thinking about potential harm, then we can identify it early and deal with it.
What are the concerns that you're hearing about?
Well, part of the concern is the diffuse nature of this work. I mean, it's going on all over the world, and there's many, many different types of materials being developed, and they're being put into different types of applications, and it's being done so quickly that regulatory agencies are just coming up to speed going, whoa, do we need anything new to regulate these? Do we have all the tools we need? And in part, trying to find out exactly where the materials are. Right? I mean, there's no requirement to necessarily report that you're using nanomaterials. So there's this bit of uncertainty about where they're actually being used today.
Now, I understand that in a couple of jurisdictions in the United States, communities have gone so far as to try and introduce bylaws which ban nanomaterials. Is that a reasonable way to go about this?
I would say no. I mean, there's nothing yet about nanomaterials that raise the concern level to say these are scary. I think, you know, it's important that we are thoughtful and careful and that we do the appropriate testing and analysis up front and understand whether these materials pose novel risks. But, you know, we are surrounded by substances of all types, and, you know, they, for the most part, help us in our lives and improve our lives, and only a very few of them are of concern, you know, are potentially causing adverse effects. And that's going to be true for nanomaterials as well. They're, because of the diversity, it's not that all materials at the nanoscale are going to be problematic, but some may be, and that's why we need to be doing testing. I think it is important that people have an opportunity to know which products they're using that contain nanomaterials. And I think, it's important. It's some communities, for example, the city of Berkeley has a rule for disclosure, simply what materials are you using? And that is important, I think, that we understand who is using nanomaterials and for what purpose.
What is your bottom line message for the people here from the forest products industry at this conference?
Clearly, there are exciting opportunities for the forest products industry in nanotechnology, and some of the early work is suggesting that that there are really biocompatible and safe products that can be developed. My message, though, is that industry needs to really be proactive around assessing and managing the potential health and environmental risks. The forest products industry has already declared itself to be a sustainable industry, that they've embraced sustainability. And so this is, you know, just another dimension of being sustainable.
Thank you very much, Joanne.
Thank you.